Okay, so we had the sofa and we haven't finished with it. We finished with the diamonds in the garbage tank and we finished with the money in the mikveh. But we haven't finished quite yet with the sofa and the check. Let us remind you quickly of the case. This sofa was asked to make some tefillin. It was paid by Levi with a check. Not Levi's check, but Shimon's check, who gave over to Levi. Gave a check over to Levi. Shimon's check. So, Levi just passed it on to the sofa. That's how I'm paying my tefillin. The sofa can't remember what happened with the check. Disappeared. So he phones up. Levi says, "Oh, can you please come and pay again?" "Well, not pay again. I never got the check. Never cashed the check." Problem is that Levi said, "I don't want to pay again, because if you don't return me the check, then Shimon won't rewrite me a check. He's a gavra alim, he's someone I can't deal with. I'll never get money out of him. It's hard enough getting the first check out of him. Forget about it. I've no way of getting this money out of him, Shimon. So you've damaged me by losing that check. On the other, I owe you money for the villain. On the other hand, you lost a check, which I can't get money from now. So we should be quits." So we concluded last week that the klalim are, if you're shomer, if you want to get the sofa because he's a shomer, and therefore he was negligent in looking after that check, because he was supposed to look after the check, we can't. Because he gets out of what we call a halachic technicality. He can't be a shomer, according to the Torah, on staris. And a check is a star. No worse, no better than a star, and he's not a shomer. So we discussed last week, maybe we can say he's tired because of mazik. He damaged the check. How did he damage the check? He lost the check. Made it not usable. So we concluded there was klalim. If you damage it in a passive way, like the sofa didn't write the right number of how much was owed, that's a passive way of damaging. Or, like we even concluded with the person in the mikveh, it was in a sense of a passive way, he was carrying on in normal ways and it was just stolen from him. So, you can't charge him for mazik either. But if it was in an active way, it got damaged, he went and carried it, and he lost it during the process of walking, he lost it, so that's a passive way of losing it, put it in a dangerous place, then you can be found. How do we look over here with the case of the sofa? What's the sofa saying? What is the sofa saying in respect to this chap? Is it passive? Where you can't charge him for being mazik, and therefore you can't charge him at all? Or active way of damaging that check. How do you look at it? Very hard way to look at it. Well, he says, "I don't know what happened, I don't know where. Maybe I put it somewhere and it's in my house somewhere, I just can't find it. Maybe it fell out of my pocket when I was walking and
he's not
gone
saying I put it somewhere, I don't know.
No,
where it is.
He doesn't know the flower. So we don't know in Betzim, therefore we're saying we don't know whether it's passive or active how he damaged his check. If it was carrying it on the journey and it fell out with his movement of his body, that's an active way of damaging the check, then you're going to be chayav. But if he just put it somewhere and doesn't know where it is, that is a passive way. Can't be chayav. He said, "I don't know what happened." So we have a vadai, he's a chayef, to pay for the tefillin. Don't know whether you can charge him for mazik or not at all. And therefore, we should say, in this scenario, that, yeah, you have to pay again. So now we're going to discuss a topic this week. It's a bit of a sidetrack from the Hilchos of Mazik, but it's Nogea to this case. And we'll get back to Hilchos Mazik. Let me ask you a question. This question is asked me a lot of times. Why? Because it's very common. You have your child, for example. You send him to a gun. What do? The agreement is to, you give your checks up front to the gun, 12 checks up front. And I don't like you using checks. If possible, I will redeem my check with cash at some point. Here's the check. And if I bring you cash, then give me back the check. If I don't bring me cash, then use the check. That's throughout the year in agreement with the gun. The gunnet phones up and says, I can't find the check. Can't find the check. I lost the check. I don't know where I lost the check, but I can't find it. Don't know where it is. So, is she entitled, as the gunnet, to ask, look, your child enjoyed my services. I didn't get paid in the end because the check is nowhere to be found. Please come and pay. Give me another check or pay again with cash. Is she entitled to make such a claim or a demand from the parents in such a case?
Is it in Israel or the United States?
In an Eretz Israel.
No. Yeah. Two Jews, at least two opinions.
Explain your answers. No and yes is very not interesting to me. It's your explanations behind it.
The reason why no is being that it's an Eretz Israel, she can't cancel her check. And so if she gives her another check, she can go make offer two checks. I have no way of knowing you're not a Ghana.
If you give cash in lieu of the check, you can cancel.
What?
If you give cash in lieu of the check, you can cancel.
If I give cash in lieu of the check, she gives me the check back.
She says she's lost the check.
Then I don't have to give her.
First cancel the check and then...
You can't do that in this country.
You can't cancel it.
If the person who it's made out to walks into the bank with the check, you're going to have a very hard time.
To get the signature of the person, I lost the check. Please cancel it.
It's not so simple.
The person can take it out to court.
It's happened to me.
That's true too. That's even in the United States.
No, sir.
But in the United States, I can cancel a check at will. Here, you cannot do that.
So,
you can.
The United States, everything is
Moses is right, and he's absolutely wrong.
Okay.
He's right, it's different from America. And England, for that sense. In these countries, America and England, write a check, cancel it as much as you can write it. Even if you woke up one morning and say, I don't feel like you should have this check, you don't have to give any reason, just cancel it. You can have afterwards claims against you, but that's nothing to do with the check. The claims will be, you owe me some money for this and this and that. Not that you did something illegal for cancel check. No, I can cancel a check at my whim. That's in America and England. And so, no. Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to cancel the check once it's been given over. Except we do allow you in Eretz Yisrael to cancel checks if it was stolen or you didn't get in lieu of services, you get paid for something and you didn't get what was supposed to be paid or it's lost.
So she
can cancel the check. So knowing that fact, does the gananet have a right to demand from the parent the check can't be found, make a new payment of either another check or cash, and we'll deal with the check, go cancel the check. Can she make such a demand from the parents?
Yes. Well, she, minus what it's going to cost to cancel a check with the bank, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, she can.
Okay. Yes, she can. Let's see the source of this. So the Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun Daled Sif Beis says like this. Haba lefa chova. Somebody wants to pay his debt. The Omer Hamalva. And the lender says, Ovid Lishta. I lost the document of debt. I can't find it. Ein alova yocholoma. The lender, the borrower can't say, Lo ef lecha ad shetase lishtari. Oh, if you lost the documents of debt, oh, I'm not going to pay you until you return that document. And then how is that? Yitzim lo shova. What has to be done, he has to pay. He just has to get a receipt that he paid. But you have to go home and pay up his whole debt and get a receipt. So same here, the gamelit can demand from the parents that the check is gone. The document of debt, which is, shows that you owe me money, is gone. The check. And therefore, write me another one. Pay me another form. What about the check? I'll give you a receipt that you've been paid and cancel that check wherever it is. You can make such a demand based on this. Halacha and shulchan. Okay. That's a common shulchan. Now let's move on to a din Torah. Reuven wins a prize. What's the prize he wins? 500 shekels worth of credit in the local bakery.
All right, what do I?
500 shekels worth of credit local bakery. How does he now go and achieve, recover, actualize that price? He's given coupons for that bakery. So Reuven goes to the bakery and he waits for a good day to do it. Why? Because now he has a bar mitzvah in shul. And this is a good time to use that price. So he goes to the bakery and he buys 500 shekels worth of goods from the bakery. And he gives over the coupons. Very good. So far, so good. The following morning, not the morning, let's say Sunday, Yom Rishon after the Bar Mitzvah, he gets a call from the bakery and said, there's been a terrible mistake here. The coupons you gave us are not for our bakery. It's the bakery, competition bakery over there, across the road. You owe us money. 500 shekels. Ooh. So, Reuven feels he made a bad mistake. And he is willing. I said, look, okay, I made a mistake. I set responsibility for my fashion. I did. Okay. I went to the wrong bakery. Okay. But who's the one who went to the wrong bakery? Reuven admits he's more of a fashion than the bakery is. Okay. The person at the till. Okay. Okay. Both of them are negative. Reuven is a good hearted guy. So he says, okay, I'm coming to pay, but I'm going to pick up my coupons, of course, and use it for my next bar mitzvah. Okay, so what's the problem? Kid is, I couldn't use it here. I'll use it later down the road. So Reuven comes round, and he pays the money. And he said, no, where's my coupons? He said, oh, right, we go to the till to get the coupons. He opened up the till, no more coupons. They disappeared. Vanished into the thin air. Now we're in a din Torah. So far, Reuven talks, goes so far. But now, not to get his coupons back, that's not willing to go. And therefore, now we're in a basin. Between the bakery and Reuven, where Reuven came in. I gave coupons. I gave it to the wrong person. I paid up my debt. But they didn't return my coupons. Therefore, I'm holding them responsible that they have to return my money because they didn't return the coupons.
I don't even think you have to go that far.
So the question is, has he got a valid claim in saying, well, give me back my money then?
Yes, but not for the reason he said.
Based on what we've learned from the previous week, how do we look at this case? Do we look at this case that he has a valid claim against the bakery who can't find his coupons?
If it's strictly based on what we've learned, probably not.
Huh? If it's strictly based on why? Why, according to what we learned?
The bakery has no responsibility to inspect the coupons when they got it.
First, he goes by step by step. Are the bakery shomer on the coupons?
No, the coupons are starless.
Because coupons are?
Clearly starless.
Starless. Okay. Starless can't have Hilfe shomer. So what else? What other category we can have to discuss?
Muzzic.
Are the bakery muzzic on the coupons?
It was in the till.
Is it passive or active? Passive. So we can't get them on the muzzic scenario. So therefore, they have damaged him, what we call it, something which you can't get, called groms, indirect damage, by can't finding these coupons. And he for sure owes the money for the food they took. So therefore he has to pay. He can't get, because there's, he can't cancel it out with a claim of showmen or claim of damages. So that's it. The bakery seems to be correct according to what we've learned up to now. Yes? But now Marcus is going to explain why that's not necessarily true.
If they can't produce the coupons, they can't prove that it was the wrong store.
They can. It's obvious.
Why?
Because how did he get these coupons in the first place?
With the contest.
The contest. So all you have to do is phone up Rivka, the head manager of the contest, and she says, where did you get the donation for these bakery coupons on? And she verifies that she got it from the one across the street. So you don't need proof bigger than that. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to introduce a new principle here.
He should have asked for the coupon first.
He should have, but he didn't.
Should, what?
He should have asked for the coupon first.
But it would not have helped. How would it help according to the principles of that?
Where's the transaction? Who said what transaction?
Well, you took that rat, the Rogolov, you ate the Rogolov, you definitely had 500% of the Rogolov. No, so I can't buy the coupon.
You accepted the things in payment.
Well, I didn't say in payment.
Didn't you accept it in payment?
No, I didn't realize. I made a mistake. Accepting one of
the payments. Sam, I don't accept this currency. I'll tell him the next day.
It's not currency. It's not currency. It's not currency. It's like a check was made out to the wrong shop. Okay, so we're going to introduce a new principle over here.
So if this bakery was not running a contest, then they did have a responsibility to read the coupon. What is this guy paying you a coupon for? We don't have any coupons.
We have coupons. They also have coupons.
They also have
coupons. Yes, they also have coupons. Now, let me ask a question. What is the actual relationship of the bakery to those coupons? What is the halakhic relationship, the connection, halakhically, the relationship that's going on between the bakery and those coupons?
Which bakery?
The bakery who had those coupons, the wrong ones. What is their relationship to that, those coupons which they had, before they can't find it? What was their halakhic connection to? What?
The Balfov on the coupon.
Balfov on the coupons? Who's the Balfov?
The bakery.
Balfov? The bakery owing money?
You're talking about the bakery that issued the coupon or the bakery who bought the bakeries from?
No, the bakery who got received the coupons and lost them.
Who received the coupons?
Yeah, lost them, couldn't find them. What are their relationship, halakhically, to those coupons which they received?
Because of? maybe a shomer al hashalas aveda.
You want to say it's a shtar chov, is what you want to say.
Not what I want to say. You could say. Let's try and build up, therefore, a relationship here. What is Reuven, who came to buy the Rogolos at the bakery, what's his relationship to the bakery?
Oh, a customer.
Halachic relationship, not in a business relationship.
A buyer.
What did he do? Let me speak it out to him. What did he do? He went to the shop. What did he do?
He
took baked goods. Did he pay for those baked goods?
Not yet.
Not yet. So what is the status between him and the bakery when you bought goods but you haven't yet paid? What's your relationship now? Automatically? He owes money. He owes money to the bakery. That's his relationship. So now, when somebody who owes you money gives you something which is not payment, but is essentially monetary potential there, what is that called? The thing that the lender gives to, the borrower gives to the lender, not the payment, but he gives something there which is important to him.
Well, if he did it intentionally,
a maskum. It's called a guarantor for the debt. Yeah? Please lend me $10,000. I'll give you my gold watch in the meantime. I'll pay you in 10 months' time. That gold watch is called guarantee for the loan, the payment for the loan. So what has happened over here, even unintentionally, was Reuven borrowed money from the bakery. He's a borrower of the bakery, he's got debt. And he gave to them, not payments, but something that is important and worth money, called the coupons. So the coupons, in fact, are mashkin for his debt, a guarantee for his debt. The chanut, the bakery, have a guarantor in their debt by holding these coupons. Why? Why is it automatic? What is a definition of a guarantee?
Something that I knowingly accept as a guarantee that I have the right to keep until you pay me. They don't have the right to keep it. If he comes in and says, I want my coupons, they have to give it to him.
Something of value.
It has to be a value.
It has to be a value.
So this is a value. Worth 500 shekels at the bakery across the street.
Get money out of it?
No, I can get baked goods at the bakery across the street.
You can sell it.
I can get baked goods at the bakery across the street.
Somebody give you 400 shekels for 500 shekels worth of goods across the street.
What use is that?
Somebody get 500 shekels across the street.
A guarantee, by definition, is something which I have over you in order to secure my debt. So even if it was given to me by mistake, but at the end of the day, you owe me money. Correct? You owe me money? Yes. I got something which has monetary value, which belongs to you, so therefore I've got a way of securing that debt without even having to go to you. I've got the coupon to myself.
No, you don't. Yes. You have to give it back to me.
I don't.
You do.
You don't. Yes. You owe me money. I don't have to give it back.
I don't owe you coupons. You can't.
If you're not going to pay, I'm not going to give back the coupons.
That's not within your rights.
That has total rights. Somebody owes me money, and yes, I have something of his in my possession.
Yeah.
I can hold it until the payment is given. I can hold it until it's given.
If you just borrowed something and it turns out you owe the other guy money, the other guy owes you money, you don't have to give him back that item?
Nope.
It came to you behetzer.
There is a Zohar which says you shouldn't do such a thing, but halachically, somebody gives you a pekodin to look after. You just look after this for me. And he ends up, this person who gave you something to look after actually went and borrowed money at a later stage even. You can now withhold giving back that forgotten if the date of the debt is due and he has not paid. Well, down in Simon Dalad and Shulchan Aruch Hoshem Mishpat.
Is that even if it's worth more than what the...
Yes.
If I owe you $10 and you have my car, you can keep the car until I give you back $10.
It's a way of, what's a guarantee? It's a way of pulling you.
That's when it's consensual.
Oh,
I didn't consent.
I just told you the consensual is not a fact. So therefore, if that's the relationship, let's try and look at it in a different manner. I lent you money, and in exchange of you getting money, you gave me a mushkin. The lender has a mushkin. What's his now obligation in respect to the mushkin? What happens if the lender loses that mushkin? What happens if the lender now has a mushkin, loses the mushkin?
I got the paper, isn't it?
So let us look at Shulchan Aruch, who talks about this case. The Ramah brings down the Me'ava Mashkin Lo Habi El Shomer Chinom. We have a famous law, Machlok Shin Rab and Rab Yosef, whether somebody who has a Mashkin is his relationship to that Mashkin, is he a Shomer Socha? That's like Rab Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. And therefore you have a higher responsibility there to look after that Mashkin. Or you're just a Shomer Chinom, and you have less responsibility. You're only going to be chayav for negligence. Okay? So he said, the Ramah says, I'm lenient. I baskin, he's only a Shomer Chinom. So, has that helped us over here? So the bakery are Shomer Chinoms on those coupons. The coupons are Mashkin. Yes, Sammy? Coupons are Mashkin. And we say the Ramah holds your relationship when you're holding a Mashkin is your Shomer Chinom on it. That means you're going to be chayav and negative. Is that going to help us over here so far? Because it's going to help. Because we just said, in the past of Shomim, there's no difference with Shomim by Shtar. So far, hasn't helped us. But let's carry on. The Indian there, he says to Ramah a very interesting words. He's a Shomer Chinom in respect. If you have the car as a mushkin for a chov of $10, so the mushkin is much more expensive than the car is much more expensive than the debt. Ein amalv nosin lo vayson ela oved masav. Then he can't. He doesn't give to such a case the one who borrowed the money. He's lost his money. The lender's lost his money. Below Yosa, but no more. Yeah. What happens? Meaning, if he loses the car, but not out of negligence, he's a Shomer Chinom on the car, yes? He lost it, but not negligence. So, is he chayv to pay for the car, according to the Ramah?
No. Well, only to the extent of what it was securing.
He's a Shomer Chinom. A Shomer Chinom is chayv and losing, or only chayv and negligence? Tell me. Only on negligence. So if he loses a car, what would you expect him, the Ramah, to say?
He doesn't have to pay.
But more than that, what would you expect him to say? I lent him money. He gave me a car in exchange as a mushkin. I'm now a Shomer Chinom on that car. I wasn't negligent. He got lost. Okay, so I'm off the hook on the car. So therefore, what should come out?
He still owes him the money.
Now he still owes him the money. But the Ramah doesn't say that. He says he doesn't have to pay over and above. The lender doesn't have to reimburse the borrower for over and above the debt. But the actual debt he does lose. Why? He's only a Shomer Chinom. Why does he lose the debt? Let's do mathematics. Because the car, he's a Shomer Chinom. He wasn't negligent. Fine. So that's the car out of the way. He doesn't have to pay for the car. You owe him money? Yes, you owe him money. Because I lent you money. So therefore give me the money.
of the whole.
So therefore, why does the Ramah say, no, you don't pay it with $100 the loan, $10,000 the car, you lost the car without negligence? The Ramah should say, yeah, you get back your $100 now. Why does the Ramah say, no, you get back, you don't get back anything. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay the $9,900, which is because you lost the car, because it wasn't as negligent. But you don't get your $100 back. You don't get your $100 back. Why?
Because he's saying that.
What for?
He's saying that on the part that his mortgage is not a shem lechinim, there's only shem lechinim on the excess.
Ah. So we see from the Ramah that when you take a mashkin, you're shomer on the value of the mashkin over and above the debts. So what's your relationship in respect to the actual debt? What's your relationship in respect to the debt? The debt's $10,000. The car's $10,000. So, $9,000! You're shomer chinam.
It's as if you paid, but there's a tanai that the person gives you the money, you have to give back the mashkin.
You say shomer sota. So?
In a case where it would be a consensual mashkin, the relationship is, the arrangement of a mashkin is, if you don't pay me, you mean your debt, the debt gets liquidated in the form of the mashkon. So you preempted me by liquidating the mashkon before I got a chance to pay you back. But that was in exchange for the debt.
Okay.
But that's in the consensual mashkon. I don't see how it applies here.
So, Matus is wrong. And so is Eric. Let us see how the Nesivus defines that relationship in the Mashkin up until the value of the text. Kosu the Shmuel, this opinion is small in the Gemara. Tahavi, what's that relationship? Tahavi ki'ilu pirush, as if you spelt out. In Yavad Hamashkin, Ovid Ma'osov. If you lose that mashkin of mine, whatever reason, however you lose it, I don't receive it again back. You know what? You're not going to see your money back, which you lent me either. We're doing here mashkin for money. Mashkin for money. If the mashkin comes back, money comes back. But not like matzot. Why not like matzot? I give you an example. Why so like matzot? I borrow, according to Shmuel, it'll come out like this. I borrow $10,000. I give you a mashkin of $100. And then you lose that mashkin. What comes out, according to Shmuel, what should be then the cheshbon? New family? You have to pay the rest of the debts over and above the $100 or not? The mashkin was $100. The debt was $10,000. So that one would be true if you learn like Matz, but it's not like that.
Really?
The deal is, you lose the mashkin, whatever value it is, even if it's minute and compared to the debt is wiped out. Yes. No claim on the debt. You gave me a 5 shekel mashkin for $1 million debt. Lose the mashkin.
I'm better off not
lose
asking for
the
a
debt.
Mashkin at all than asking for a mashkin that's more little.
Make sure you take a mashkin which is worth something. By definition.
Or make sure you lose it.
Even if you lose it, you weren't negligent. Because the deal, says Shmuel, is you want a mashkin, okay? Money for mashkin, mashkin for money. It's a two-way deal over here. If I see the mashkin again, you get the money again. Therefore.
But that doesn't apply here.
Therefore.
I'll tell you why it doesn't apply
here.
Why
does it work both ways then?
Why doesn't it work both ways?
You say if the mashkin's worth more than the debt, he still owes into the difference.
No. Because why does he's only showing a chilul over and above if the mushroom is more than the debt? It's not an exchange for the debt, so only up until the value of the debt could be an exchange for the debt. Over and above, you're just a shemakin the moment. But if it's less, then the whole mushroom is an exchange for that debt.
And it doesn't apply it.
And it does apply
it. It can't apply
it. It does apply because it doesn't need a consent and say, well, this is the deal.
Maybe it doesn't need a consent, but to be Ki'ilu Peirash, you need knowledge. Am I the man?
You just need exchange. What's Ki'ilu
Peirash?
You just need an exchange.
Why would that be Ki'ilu Peirash? Logical. Why would it be Ki'ilu Peirash? Ki'ilu Peirash means we're both going on this assumption because that's just normal. They can't go on an assumption. They don't even know what they're doing.
So, what happens over here? You're right if there's absolutely no involvement of the people, knowledge. But what happens over here? The bakery phones up Reuven.
Right.
How did the conversation proceed from that point? The bakery said, you owe us 500 shekels. We didn't receive payment. Reuven said, you've got my coupons. Bakery says, come and bring us the money, and then you will retrieve your coupons. At that stage, a mushkin is created. At that stage, we have a consent between two sides for the exchange. And therefore...
I'm still not convinced of that. Because here they had no choice. They're just telling we're not giving it back to you. They're using it now. Correct.
As a muskin. If you use a muskin, it has the kalalim of muskin.
But I still don't think you could say Ki'ilu Peirash.
No, don't need to. And therefore, based on that...
You don't need to say Ki'ilu Peirash?
No. It's automatic. That's how they relate to it. They relate to it as a muskin move, and that is an exchange for the money, and therefore that has now the halakhas, that's... See the money, then you'll see the coupons, you see the money. If you don't see the coupons, you don't see the money. So even although we said you're not a mazik, and we said you're not a shoma, but there's a deal here. You're a mushkin. A mushkin, you only receive your debts back if you return the mushkin. You didn't give back the mushkin. In that case, you're going to be...
But there's a problem here.
What's the problem?
Problem is, he comes along and says, give me the mask and I'll give you the money. And he's already given him the money. So he can't say, I won't give you the money.
No, it's a mistake. The whole thing is a mistake. I'm not mukhwi. It's not like I can hold it. I'm not mukhwi to give you the money and let you give me the mushkin. So I gave it as a mistake. You never gave me the mushkin back. So therefore, give me the money back. The money is only mukhwi to be paid to the bakery as kama that you return the mushkin. It was never given back the mushkin. So the mukhwi, so the whole thing was a mistake. Therefore, the based in baskins, bakery. Give back the 500 shekels.
Why did the mushkin be like? Because of the mushkin?
Because you didn't give back the mushkin. You can't get your debt of 500 shekels unless you return the mushkin of the coupons. You never returned it.
But now the money is
mukhsak
with the bakery. That's
not a sofik. It's an obvious halacha. It's not a machlokas. It's a halacha. If you owe somebody money, so you gave them a mushkin, you're not mechuyev. I don't have to, I'm holding it. You're not mechuyev to pay your debt until the mushkin is produced. You're not produced, I'm not mechuyev. I gave you something which I'm not mechuyev, you have to give it back. The baker has to give back 5 shekels. Therefore, now I'm going to ask you a question. If that's the halacha, let us return to our two cases. Why does the Gannenet have a right to demand money for the check that she lost? What is that check that she received?
Check is nothing.
What did she receive?
A piece of paper.
A mushkin. That check is her mushkin. Give 12 checks up front. If I don't pay you in cash, then you could use that. check. I try and pay you in check, in cash. She loses the check. What's she done? She lost the mashkin. What's the halakha if you lose the mashkin? Not entitled to get the money which is owed to you? No. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say that if you lose the shtar, you can still get your money?
It's not a by which case?
The Shulchan Aruch, the top. That we're comparing to the Gadolim.
Why does the Shulchan Aruch say you can still get your money?
Why does the Shulchan Aruch say
the shtar is not a mashkin?
So, Matzis wants to say, you know what? The shtar, the case for the Shulchan Aruch, the first case, is not mashkin. I lent you money, you write a shtar to prove the debt. A proof of the debt is not a mashkin, but the Ganelik case is a mashkin. So the Ganelik case should have the same halacha as the Binkeli. She didn't give back the mashkin.
And there are multiple reasons why not, but the simplest reason is because there is no cause. It's to yourself all of a sudden.
There is besov.
This is before the sov. These are postdated checks. You didn't do the service yet. You didn't wash the kids yet. I want checks that you want me to keep washing the kids. So until the month is over, there's no hope.
The month is over.
Fine, so next month, that month maybe. But the coming months, I don't have to do anything.
The month is over.
So that one month.
Yes, okay. So they're asking that one month.
Okay,
month
is the month is over.
No?
But this is not a mashkon.
You said you had many reasons. So you gave me
the
reason.
The other reason is because it's not a mashkon.
It wasn't a good reason.
It's a very good reason for the other 11 months.
Yeah, but that's not good enough for me. No?
It's not a mashkon because I'm not holding it in order for you to pay me.
Yes, I... The whole deal was...
You want to pay me, that's your prerogative. No interest in your paying me.
The whole thing was is that I'm giving this, not payments. I'm giving you a check, not payment. I want to pay in cash. I don't want you to use my checks. I want to be put. You want to have security. So you say, give me the checks. Okay, give me the checks. If you come with the cash,
security
I'll give you the check back. If you don't, then I'll get the cash yourself.
Security means I have something that I can sell and therefore get paid.
No, security is something I can reclaim my debt for it.
No, that's not a mashkin. A mashkin is something I can sell and reclaim the debt by selling it. Selling the check is not how I get my money.
I can just cash the check, pass it on. Do I like the check?
No, I can't. I can only go to the bank and then...
No, I can pass on to the next person.
And if the check is bad, I'm going to be responsible
for it. So what happens if it's a crush check?
I can't sell it.
It doesn't make a difference. There's a way, a mashkin by definition, is a way of, I'm not having it like a killer's payment, but is a way of being able to secure my payment through this, what's in my hand. Yes.
No.
If I
point a gun to your head and say, pay me, that's not a mashkon. It's a very good way of enforcing payment, but it's not a mashkon.
This itself can be turned, it's not a gun. A gun is not going to be turned into money, because it's my gun in any case.
But
this is your check, which I can convert into money to get your money.
I have to be able to convert it into money by selling it.
Why?
That's what a mashkon is.
It's a way. So what? It's a way of being able to retrieve my money through this item you're giving me.
The shtar is also a way to be able to retrieve my money.
So therefore, maybe the shtar is also a mashkon.
It's not, because a mashkon is not something that you use to retrieve your money. It has to be something that you can sell.
So the Nesivus argues. You know what? The Nesivus says that even a shtar is a mashkon. Even the shtar is a mashkin. The shtar which you write to prove the debt at shtar itself is also a mashkin. So now we're in problems if you look at that. So if the malzo who has the shtar to prove his debt loses that, well, he's lost the mashkin. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say if you lose the shtar, which is the mashkin according to the Nesivus, then you can still get your money? We learned you lose your mashkin, then you don't get your money, because if it's a mashkin, you don't get your money unless you return the mashkin. So then the Nesivus says like this: Lamanda Omer, number 4. Lamanda Omer Kosin Shova. The Peshat in the Shulchan Aruch who says you have to pay but you get a receipt. Eina Rak Mishum Tokhona. It's not Me'ikadin. You lost the shtar. You don't get your money back. Why? Because the shtar is a mashkin. If you don't give the mashkin, then you don't get your money back either. It's not me getting, it's only a tekona. Because if we allow you to have such a situation, that every lender who loses his document, he won't be able to retrieve his money, it will leave us into a situation of... Yes. It will be a situation, not lending money. People won't lend money. Plenty of people want to borrow money, but there won't be lend money in such a situation. A very dangerous situation. And therefore, Mikatin, you're right. It is this Mashkin star, which is that your proof is a Mashkin. You lose it, you don't get your money back. But we have to make a Tekona. See, if it's only a Tekona, now let us ask the question. By the Ganenet, is there a Tekona or not a Tekona? She loses the check. Can she request and demand payment or not? If we're saying that the check is a maskun, because if we're saying the star of a debt is a maskun, for sure a check, of, in this case, is a maskun. If she loses it, she shouldn't get her money. The only reason why she should get money is if there's a takana. Is there a takana by the ganane?
If it's a takana, she ought to know that you love him, that only when there's a mavalon relationship. There's no mavalon relationship here in the bakery or anything. It's all mekakul memcha.
And it's all debts.
No, it's not mavalon. It's all pinal delis, if they love it, it's very specific.
Oh. Who says it's because of lotes in the devas?
What a takana is it?
Oh. You tell me.
Well, my question is, where does the Shulchan Aruch see that takana? It's somewhere in the Gemara. This takana that the Tzivos is alluding to.
The Tzivos is saying, make a cheshbon. Mashkin is a halacha
in the Gemara. I understand why there should be a takana. But where's the makor that there is a
takana? Because otherwise you've got steering two halachas. It's the Kiddush of the Tzivos.
Where's the Shulchan Aruch's makor? Where can he can't invent his own takana.
Oh, because it's from the Gemara.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
What is it?
The Gemara, Baba Masa. You said no Gemara, it's Gemara and Bumfasa. Okay.
The check isn't like a mushkin.
So is the Ganelet a Tekona or not?
The check isn't like a mushkin. There's a difference between the check and everything else.
It is a mushkin.
It's different from everything else.
And even a star is a mushkin.
A star is a different thing.
Why? You lend me money, I'll write this out to bring it.
Because a star can't be cancelled. An object, the mushkin can't be cancelled, the star can't be cancelled, the check can be completely cancelled.
I can even
can
you cancel
it. Valueless.
I can even you cancel it. Just go to the bailiffs. You cancel it. Just go to the bailiffs. I can always be able to get money through that check.
Dad, you're talking about what's the law, and if there's by agreement, that doesn't exist. Whereas if you say, I've given you a gold watch, a car, even a star, and they can agree to cancel it, doesn't make any difference. It still exists. It still has its own value. A check, you can reverse the whole situation.
The definition of a guarantee is being able to get through this, what you're giving me, my money. So, if there's a way of getting my money, then it's called a guarantee. Even if you cancel, I can still get the money. Through this. So therefore, I'm asking a question now. Is the Ganemet having the Tekona or not?
What is the Tekona? It's not all in the Dalit. It's in the Lovin. So what is it?
So if you look at the Nesiva's Loshen, you see he doesn't mention anything about Shlot in the Dalit with the Lovin. He says very specific words.
It doesn't make sense. With the car, with all the other things, the person, even if it's only worth $10 and the debt is $1 million, he's still losing something if he doesn't get it back. He was not losing anything if he doesn't get it back.
If he doesn't get this back, he's going to lose his car as well through the bonus. So he's giving him something to be able to get money back.
If he says, oh, I've lost the check and you cancel it, please, and he cancels it, he hasn't lost anything.
Yes.
Because all the other things, he can't do that.
Cancelling doesn't mean anything. The check is a way of going and getting your money. Because what does cancelling do? Well, he's got the word cancelling. I can still get money. Yes, I can. I go to the bailiffs and get your money with this check. If I didn't have the check, I won't be able to do that. So the lotion of the Nesivas is we can't allow somebody to get benefit from a person and not pay for it. Just take benefits and not pay for it. It's not right that you got money and you get away with it. Okay. So if we're saying this, that Takana always in a situation where we say, well, you lost the shtar, so we make a Takana for you, Mr. Lenzer, because it's not right that the borrower should have money and not have to pay for it. Well, it doesn't make sense at the moment. Every case is like that, of losing mushroom. So there's an extra word. We can't allow you to have benefits at the expense of somebody else. Yeah? We can't allow you to have benefits at the expense of somebody else. But if you're not going to lose, so then we make a tzedakah. If you're going to lose, we make a tzedakah. But if you're not going to lose, then we don't make a tzedakah. In such a case.
I don't understand what the takana is. What are these words?
The takana is. Let me speak it out. The takana is. With the shtar, the malva, lost the shtar. Now the borrower, has he got any loss out of not having that mushroom back? Does the borrower who borrowed money now say, well, I've lost now. You didn't give me back the mushroom. Now I've lost. I've now lost money. Have I lost? Has the borrower lost anything to the fact that he hasn't got the document of debt back in his hands? Not the chair. Talking about the document debt first of all. Malva writes debt. You owe me $1,000. He writes in the shtar. The malva then loses that. So the lover says, "Well, you're not giving me back that shtar, so I'm not giving you back the money." Has the borrower lost anything by not having that shtar back? Can you say, well, you did me a disservice by not giving it back, so therefore, I'm not giving your money back. Can you say that?
No,
as long as he gets a receipt. Well, yes, he does. There's nothing wrong with that star being there. I don't mind. It doesn't have to be my hand. You know, what would I do if you give me the star? I would just rip it up. Yeah? The star has no value to me. I just don't want it around. That's all. So if you give me a receipt, that's good enough. So if so, make it a corner. Make a tzedakah in such a case. You're not going to lose for the fact you don't get your mushroom back. We make a tzedakah. Let's get paid. Pay, why not help this? Hashav HaSaveta, you're not losing anything. Hashav HaSaveta, you're not losing anything. Give him his money, and you're not losing by the fact you don't have your mushroom. If that's Rishat, does the Ganenet, the parents, lose anything to the fact that the check is lost? The parent lose anything? The fact the check, no? Well, let the check be there. If you give me that check, I'll also rip it up. In such a case. So therefore, you got a chiv of Hashav HaSaveda, make it in you don't, but Hashav HaSaveda, pay the ganenet the money, Mishum Hashav HaSaveda. What are you losing by doing paying the money?
Why don't we need a takana?
If it's Hashav HaSaveda, why do I need a takana? It fits into Hashav HaSaveda, that's why. Because it fits into Hashav HaSaveda. Hashav HaSaveda is a mitzvah, we machayv.
Hashav
HaSaveda is a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah, we can't force you to do Hashav
HaSaveda. Oh?
No. Not his money.
Huh?
I'm helping you not to lose money.
If you find...
I don't have your money. No, I'm not talking about that. It's like the money on the floor.
Right.
I just ignore it. You're over it soon.
Oh.
Yeah? What? So therefore the getter is, whenever you don't lose by not having that mushroom, you're mechuyev to return the money. Mishum Takana v'Hashav HaSaveta. So the Ganenet also has that Takana. Mashen came by the sofa. Let us now discuss the sofa. The sofa received the check. And this is where we're end tonight. The sofa receives that check for payment for the tefillin. It wasn't Levi's check. It was Shimon's. But Levi used it. And now the sofa loses that check. We said, he's not a shomer, so we can't get the sofa being a shomer. He's not a mazik. Well, it could be he's not mazik, because it could be it's passively he lost it, so we can't get him a mazik. Can we get him on the concept that it's a mushkin? You gave him tefillin. He owes you money.
It wasn't mushkin, it was payment.
Payments which never materialized.
It wasn't to guarantee anything.
It
wasn't a guarantee something. It was nothing forthcoming after that.
Can we get him on the fact that it's a mushkin?
Again, this is a loss.
It's a lost shemesh.
Firstly, it is a masculine because it's no worse than the star. It's not only a way of payment.
Star,
it's not payment. It's a way of getting payment, and it's a proof that you owe me money. Two things.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's a proof you owe me money.
Why is it?
Every check is a stachu.
No,
every
this is check. Somebody else's check.
Doesn't matter. It's a proof that money is owed to me.
How does it prove I owe you money?
It's
a
proof.
You somebody else's
it's
check.
A proof that he owes me money. Fine. It's a proof he owes me money.
Okay. It's a proof that the guy wrote the check off.
Yeah, it's owed money here. So therefore, by definition, it's when it enters into the category of mushkin. If it enters into the category of mushkin, you only get your money back if you give back the mushkin. Here you didn't get back the mushkin, so you don't get any money back. Ah, should we put a takana here? Should we put a takana here? Should we put a takana over here that says, well, you've got nothing to lose. You got your tefillin, you got nothing to lose by giving him money again. Is there a takana to say there's a shavas aveda for him to pay the sofa?
No.
No, why? Because he is losing. So then he hasn't got a chiyuv on shavas aveda. There's no chiyuv on shavas aveda if you're losing. So therefore, Enoch and Ami, we can't get the sofa on being a shomer. And we can't get him going on the mazik. But on the din of mashkin, you don't give it back, then you're not entitled to get paid either. So therefore, sofa doesn't get paid until he finds that star.
Well,
finish off next week before Ben Ezra. The last one before Ben Ezra.